Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're continuing our discussion of how to deal with sorrow as part of a larger discussion we're having of learning how to deal with our emotions so that we can overcome in the challenges of life. All of us experience sorrow, or the anguishing pain that comes from losing someone or something dear to us. And this week we've introduced into our discussion the fact that the Redeemer has come to give us the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. God has joy for us in the midst of sorrow. What does that mean? Joy is not an emotion, although it can and will affect your emotions. The joy that God has for you is a spiritual strength that will enable you to stand until you feel better. We discussed yesterday how that through the new birth, through being born again, we now have in us eternal life. Eternal life is the life that's in God. The Bible uses several word pictures to describe our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ now that we are born again. It uses the example of a vine and a branch. He's the vine, we're the branches. It uses the example of head and body. He's the head, we're the body. And it uses the example of husband and wife. All three of those word pictures describe union and shared life. They all depict union. The branch is united to the vine. The head is united to the body. A husband and wife are united. And they all depict shared life. The branch gets its life from the vine. The body and the head share the same life. And the husband and the wife share the same life. The point being, when you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, you received the life of God into your spirit and are now united to Him, to the life in Him. We could do whole lessons on that. But that life is now a well of eternal life springing up in you. That's the example Jesus used in John chapter 4. You have in you a well of life. Whatever's in that life is in you now. And in that life is the joy of the Lord. Galatians chapter 5 verse 22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit is outward evidence of the life within. One of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. Joy is in you to strengthen you to stand until you feel better. We looked at Isaiah chapter 12 verse 3 yesterday that speaks of drawing up out of the well of salvation with joy. In that day you shall say, praise the Lord. We draw that joy up by praising the Lord. Praising the Lord is not an emotional response to your situation. It is an appropriate response to your situation. To praise someone means to extol them by talking about who he is and what he has done, is doing, and will do. We praise God by proclaiming His name, by talking about what He is like. We praise God by talking about His doings, by talking about what He has done, is doing, and will do. Let me give you an example you can all relate to. I taught high school history at a public high school for 25 years. There were times when it was appropriate for me to praise a student. He had shown character traits that were deserving of praise, or she had achieved some scholastic accomplishment that was worthy of praise from me as the teacher. It had nothing to do with how I felt. It had nothing to do with whether I was having a good day or a bad day. I praised them not because I felt like it. A lot of times I didn't feel like it. I did it because it was the right thing to do. I did it because it was appropriate to say, good job, son, good job, good job. You did a great job on that test. You showed a strong character in the way you acted. Didn't matter how I felt. I did it because it was appropriate. It's always appropriate to praise the Lord, no matter how you feel, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how things look. He's worthy of praise. It's always appropriate to talk about who He is and what He has done, is doing, and will do. But the thing is, when you do that, when you praise the Lord, as I'm describing here, it activates that fruit of joy that's in you because you're born again. That's how you draw living water out of the well of salvation to strengthen you until you feel better. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." You've all heard that. But for most of us, it's a cliche to proclaim when they're playing a worship song at church that we particularly like. No, this is a powerful statement about God's provision for us and how we access it. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That word joy in the Hebrew language means rejoicing. It comes from a root word that means to rejoice. The New American Bible translates it that way. For rejoicing in the Lord must be your strength. Your strength comes from rejoicing in the Lord. Your strength comes from praising God. Your strength comes from talking about who He is, what He has done, is doing, and will do. And you can do it when your heart is broken, and you can do it when tears are streaming down your face. If you do it, it will draw upon the fruit of joy that's in you because you're united to the vine as a branch. You cheer yourself. See, you make, this verse speaks of doing. Rejoice in the Lord. Doing, making a choice to rejoice rather than do it because you feel like it. You cheer yourself by recounting the reasons you have hope. And God, by His life and His Spirit in you, becomes your strength. See, the joy of the Lord is your strength. When you acknowledge God and praise God in your situation, He becomes your strength. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote the letter to the Philippians. It's known as his joy epistle. A form of the word joy is used 16 times in his letter. Paul is the one who talked about being sorrowful yet rejoicing in 2 Corinthians 6:10. He was sad in his emotions, but he cheered himself by praising God. He's the one who talked about rejoicing in hope. He's the one who talked about rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. God's glory is God manifesting or showing Himself. We could do whole lessons on that. But Paul hoped or rejoiced because he had hope that he would see God's glory demonstrated, some of it in his situation through help from God, and some of it in the life to come when he was ultimately restored all that he lost, when he was ultimately reunited with those he lost. Now, we pointed out, I believe it was last week, that when Paul talked about rejoicing in hope of the glory of God, that word rejoice literally means to boast. We rejoice by boasting in the Lord, by talking about who He is and what He has done, is doing, and will do. That's completely consistent with the passage in Isaiah that talks about drawing up joy out of the well of salvation through praising the Lord, boasting in the Lord, talking about who He is and what He has done, is doing, and will do. Now, in this epistle to the Philippians here, Paul used the word joy in some form 16 times. Paul wrote this letter when he was in jail, friends, and he didn't know if he was going to get out or not. Now, he did get out this time, but he was facing possible execution. He wrote this letter to friends and converts in the city of Philippi. He had established the church in Philippi, and they had heard that he was in jail in Rome, and he wrote this letter to encourage and comfort them. As we read this letter, it's only 4 chapters. It's an easy read. I encourage you to read it. Paul was not pretending that he felt no negative emotions in the situation. In fact, in chapter 2, he wrote about a man named Epaphroditus who got sick and almost died. Epaphroditus had been sent to Paul in Rome by the Philippians with supplies to help him while he was imprisoned. When you were in prison, you had to find a way to provide your own food and clothing. So friends would often try to get stuff to you. Well, Epaphroditus got sick and almost died. And Paul, although this is his joy epistle, he said in chapter 2, verse 27, had Epaphroditus died, Paul would have had sorrow upon sorrow. The sorrow of losing him added to his suffering. So he wasn't denying that this was a tough situation. He had sorrow in the midst of this situation. But Epaphroditus got healed, so he didn't have another sorrow on top of the other sorrow. But I point that out to you to say this is a real man who faced real sorrow and real suffering and real loss and real pain, yet he knew how to rejoice when he was sorrowful, and it activated the fruit of joy to strengthen him, the fruit of joy in his spirit, because he was united to the vine. It activated that strength to help him to stand. Now, the Philippians would have understood the context in which Paul talked about rejoicing in the midst of troubles. If we turn over to Acts chapter 16, we see that Paul and Silas got thrown in jail in Philippi for casting a demon out of a little servant girl. That devil had enabled this gal to tell fortunes, and her masters charged money to people to have their fortunes told. Well, Paul cast the devil out of her, and for that, they got arrested and thrown in jail when the girl's owners reported them to the city magistrates. But in Acts 16, we're told that at midnight, after they had been severely beaten and chained up in the deepest part of the prison, Paul and Silas praised God, and the power of God was manifested. Their chains fell off and the prison doors opened. They were set free and the Roman jailer got saved. They praised God in prison and they were supernaturally delivered. Now, did Paul and Silas feel like praising God? Well, it's highly unlikely. They hurt. They were in pain. They were in that situation for doing the work of God, setting a captive free by casting a devil out. And here they are in jail. They probably didn't feel like praising God, but they did it because it's always appropriate to praise the Lord no matter what's going on in your life, acknowledging who He is and what He has done, is doing, and will do. And they understood the value of rejoicing in hope. And guess what? It activated the power of God, and they were supernaturally delivered in their situation. The Philippians knew that Paul meant it when he said, "I'm joyful in my situation." More tomorrow.
You've been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619. 19.